Hey there, this is the MTG in Quarantine podcast with your host, MJ. Thanks for hanging out with me again today. Before I get into the rest of today's episode, I'd like to give my customary shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You know, the new Zendikar Rising set is coming out in a couple of weeks, and you definitely really want to look into some of the awesome new cards that are coming out in the set. There's a lot of really good returning creatures and cards and mechanics, as well as a whole lot of new stuff that's going to be extremely interesting. So definitely, if you're going to be buying any sealed products, singles, or even some of those new commander decks, definitely go to your local game store and make sure that the money you spend on Magic the Gathering stays in your community. You can find Guardian Games, my local game store, at ggportland.com. On today's episode, I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about the things I'm really excited for in the new Zendikar Rising set. This is going to be the third time that Magic the Gathering has been going to the Zendikar plan, and definitely looks to be a very interesting situation. Obviously, if you look at the story, the sets of the Battle for Zendikar with the Gatewatch sets obviously has changed. The Eldrazi no longer exist on the plane, or at least have been imprisoned, so everything has really changed, but again, not a whole lot has changed in a lot of ways. So, looking at the cards here, this set definitely features one of my favorite mechanics in all of Magic, and again, that's the landfall mechanic. And for those who don't know, the landfall mechanic is something that triggers on a creature or enchantment, typically creatures though, and it triggers whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control. And this doesn't have to be a basic land, it could be any kind of utility land, just anything that says land on it, on the card, will trigger landfall. And again, these abilities don't necessarily have to be just for green players, though green cards typically where you're going to find a lot of landfall triggers. But in the new Zendikar Rising set, you're going to be seeing a lot more effects across all five colors using landfall as the evergreen keyword for this set. And that's something that I really find interesting, not just because I'm a green player at heart, but just because I find that this is kind of one of those really interesting mechanics in Magic that doesn't always get the due that it deserves. This is because it doesn't really require you to have any specific strategy in place to really be able to get value out of it. Again, in the constructive formats, if you're going to be building a landfall deck, you're probably going to want to have, you know, a bunch of landfall creatures. You're going to want a lot of ways to be able to cheat out land cards. Again, this is the reason why I have a couple of lands decks running mono green and gruel colors, red green, to make sure I'm able to hit my landfall triggers to do a whole bunch of stuff. Again, for cards like Zendikar's Royal, and even, let's say, Spore Mound, even though that doesn't really have landfall as a keyword on the card. But just things like that, all the retreat cards from the last block involving landfall. And it's just, you can get a lot of value out of landfall, but I what's interesting about this for me, and this is extremely important for the limited play, is that you don't really have to have a whole lands-based strategy to get value out of landfall. It's something that even in limited, if you're just, you know, playing one land per turn, you can still get a little bit of value out of here. If you're looking at, again, just looking at a standard common on the set here, a McKindy Ox. It's a 4 and a white 4/4 ox. Landfall, whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, again, that's any land, tap target creature and opponent controls. So not everything has to be overly powerful. Again, the new Omnath, the four-color Omnath, is going to be extremely powerful and has a whole bunch of payoffs for being able to get a whole bunch of different lands out every turn. But, you know, even if you just, and especially in limited again, if you're going to be able to get any kind of landfall trigger by not missing your land drops, I mean, that could be the difference between winning and losing a game. And there's a lot of other mechanics that really don't have that kind of, I guess, staying power. It's just interesting because, again, when you take this back into Commander, which is what I obviously play the most, it's definitely something that you want to typically try to maximize, especially in a lands deck where you're going to be trying to run like 38 to 40 lands, maybe more. So you're going to be trying to build the deck to get a whole bunch of value around those lands. But you don't really have to, is the thing. You can always just have a few land-type payoffs right there. Again, the McKindy Ox is not necessarily going to be a great, great commander card. I mean, it's obviously an extremely small, it's an extremely small effect. You can find much better places for much less cost, and not on a creature. But honestly, I just really like the landfall mechanic, because as long as you're hitting your land drops, and again, it doesn't matter what land you're playing, you're able to get some value off the landfall mechanic. And you can't always say that about a lot of other mechanics that require other input. Again, you know, the evergreen keywords of flying, death touch, first strike, things like that, they're obviously going to have more utility because more creatures have them. But for abilities like this that require other input, I've always really liked landfall, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that works in the new Zendikar set. Now, that optimism doesn't necessarily transfer for me going to the other major new mechanic here from the new set, which is Party. And Party requires you, I mean, it doesn't require you, but effectively it's a very interesting look at Dungeons & Dragons, which Wizards of the Coast also operates and distributes, and a party effectively is, and these are creatures on the field, your party can consist of one, up to one of each of a cleric, a rogue, a warrior, and a wizard. And there's a whole bunch of different party payoffs throughout the set through all the different colors, trying to base it on a pretty typical, pretty standard Dungeons & Dragons party. So it's a very interesting effort by Wizards to try to be able to bring the two fandoms together, because I'm not exactly a very expert Dungeons & Dragons player. I do have an ongoing campaign with a coworker that, again, really we haven't really done a whole lot with the campaign. I'm not very good at the game. But it is very interesting to see how Wizards is trying to be able to integrate those two fandoms together into the Magic set. And so the different cards that have Party on them have different kinds of payoffs. Again, most of them are not necessarily the best. And as far as Commander is concerned, I really don't see Party being the most powerful mechanic. Again, it doesn't have to be, because it's more for the Zendikar set for Limited. So in Limited, it's probably going to be fine. Maybe it'll do something in Standard. But as far as Commander goes, you'd really have to build the right kind of deck to be able to take care of, let's say, all five colors. Again, the new Tazri Beacon of Unity is going to be the new Commander option, 4/6, four and a white human warrior creature who's coming back in from previous Zendikar sets. And it's just gonna be kind of difficult to really be able to build around this in Commander unless you have a whole bunch of types that kind of go over each other. You know, obviously you can have multiple creature types on a single creature, so you may have to do something like that. But typically when you want to do a tribal deck in Commander, you're going to want at least 25, if not more, creatures fitting that creature type. And Party is not necessarily going to be able to do that, because you're going to obviously want to have as many creatures of the four types out as possible. And so all of a sudden, you may have 30 creatures, but all of a sudden you may have 7 clerics, a couple of rogues, and maybe up to 10 wizards, but only a few warriors. And then again, all of a sudden your payoff is not really going to pay off as much if you don't have up to 4 in your party. Again, Party definitely wants you to have 3 or 4 maximum, or at least 3 or 4 out of those creature types out on the battlefield at any one given time, and that's going to be really hard to do, especially in Commander, where it's multiplayer, and other people are probably going to be able to see that you're trying to do this and can wipe your board. One board wipe, and you're effectively done with Party, unless you're able to build really quickly again. And so it's just one of those things where I don't necessarily see it being a Commander staple, because it's extremely easy to disrupt, and it's very, given the variability that we have in Commander, it's not nearly as easy to build around as Landfall is, because Landfall is more of a kind of thing where you don't necessarily have to have an extremely powerful synergy, but you can have a lands deck like I do, and effectively be able to get at least some sort of value off of any time a land comes into play. I'm tinkering around with one of my landfall decks right now, and again, I have a couple of cards where they're commons, and they'll give you a life or two every time a land enters the battlefield. Again, I don't play extremely competitive Commander. This is something where I kind of like getting some value off the lands that are coming into play. But again, I'm not necessarily trying to absolutely abuse landfall either. It's not one of those kinds of decks where I'm able to just, you know, completely turn over my lands, turn after turn after turn, just get insane value. It's more kind of a slow burn, I guess, as I'm trying to get some lands out there and try to get 2-3 lands out in some turns. But again, it's not going to be a huge thing. But I just do still think that out of the two, Landfall is going to be a whole lot more powerful in Commander, and we're going to be seeing that with one of the new pre-con Commander decks, the new Naya, deck that's going to be coming out here in a couple of weeks that looks to be pretty interesting. I may end up picking up that deck, even though I already have lands decks, you know, just to give it a try with the new Naya Commander instead of going with the standard mono green or red green that I have been going with on Landfall. So it's going to be interesting to see how white plays around with that. But as far as party is concerned, I've already pretty much laid out things that party is rather difficult to be able to get going all the time. You're going to have a lot more potential in Commander of potentially having your pieces disrupted there, and unless you have a whole good way to be able to really rebuild your board, party is just not going to be as powerful a Commander staple on here. And again, it doesn't have to be. It is meant for limited a lot, and again, it is a very interesting concept. I just don't think it's going to be a huge Commander. Now, looking at the Commanders, I don't really see a whole lot of new legendary creatures that look extremely interesting. Obviously, I like playing Golgari colors, that's green and black, the most. But just looking at the new Golgari Commander, which is Grakmaw, Skyclave Ravager. It's a 0/0 Hydra Horror that costs 1 black and a green, and reads Grakmaw, Skyclave Ravager enters battlefield with 3+1/+1 counters on it. Whenever another creature you control dies, if it had a +1/+1 counter on it, put a +1/+1 counter on Grakmaw. And when Grakmaw dies, create an XX black and green Hydra creature token, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on Grakmaw. So it definitely looks like another Golgari Aristocrat style commander where you're going to want to have a lot of creatures dying with a bunch of +1/+1 counters on there. You're going to be running the standard aristocrats here, bunch of death triggers. You're going to want your Corpse Jack Menace out there to be putting a whole bunch of counters on there, and so it looks like a pretty standard commander there, so I'm not really sure that's going to be fitting in any of my Golgari builds right now. So taking a look at some of the other commanders here, there are some opportunities for tribal decks. Again, there's a new Wizard commander. And let's see, there's a Core Cleric commander for Orzhov colors, white and black. But again, I don't really see a whole lot of really amazing commanders here outside the new Omnath. The four-color Omnath, anyway. Yeah, so I don't really see the set having a whole lot of powerful commanders. Again, Core 2021 didn't exactly have the best array of new commanders, and that's okay, because the new Commander Legends set's going to be coming out here at some point soon, and that's going to have a whole bunch of new commanders, and some of those look pretty sweet. So, honestly, it's a-okay if they don't really have a whole bunch of powerful commanders on here. I mean, I keep building new decks anyway, just because I love building decks and tinkering around with things and taking things apart if they don't work. But There's just not really a whole lot here that's of interest to really build around. I mean, the new Simic commander, Verisol, the Split Current, looks interesting. But again, that's just because it's a 0/0 X spell Simic Serpent. And cares about kicked spells. And again, kicked spells, a lot of those will occur in green and blue. So it'll be extremely interesting to see how that does. But again, a lot of the other ones on this list, they just don't really fit the most powerful commanders or new strategies, unless you really want to build Wizard or Cleric Tribal. But again, Wizard Tribal already has better options in there. Again, you can build whatever you would like to be able to build. It's just that Wizards has been more of a supported tribe in the last few years, but Clerics, not really. So it'll be interesting to see how the new Cleric Commander does. As far as Wizards, it's going to be kind of hard to be able to break into that area, especially since the new commander, which is running Izzet colors, doesn't have black, which is extremely important for the Kestisnet Mage and all Archmage Ritualists, which are some of the most powerful, or at least common, Wizard Tribal commanders. So, yeah, just taking a look at these commanders, I don't really see anything that I'm going to really be chomping in the bit to build around for the time being. Although, depending on what other sets come out later on, potentially I might start looking. So now I want to open it up to you as the listeners. What do you think of the new Zendikar Rising set? Are you excited for the new set boosters like I am, where it's not a typical draft booster, but it involves a slightly different experience that looks pretty sweet? Is there a legendary creature that you really want to build around for your next commander deck? What do you think about the new party mechanic? Is it a dud like I think it might be in Commander, or is there a really good way to be able to build around it? And are you excited to see Landfall return, or is it just kind of blasé at this point? Let me know what you think by following me at MTGInQuarantine on Twitter. Well, that about wraps it up. I'm really excited to see what happens in the new Zendikar Rising set in a couple weeks, and I hope that you are too. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast with your host, MJ. Thanks, and have fun playing.